York City, border to border, and coast to coast. You're connected with Tom Sullivan.
Yes, indeed. And hi. How are you? Happy Monday to you. Welcome to the Big Radio Show on this Monday, the 27th day of August, year of our Lord, 2018. My name is Tom Sullivan, and I think for anybody who was checking any sort of news source over the weekend any time today, the story is about John McCain. So there's been all the accolades and the tributes and all of that, which is expected when somebody passes away. You get everybody comes out and says nice things. I was struck by a number of people on their Twitter feeds put out warnings that do not say anything negative about John McCain. These are hardcore righties. Do not say anything negative about John McCain or you will be deleted from my Twitter feed. So I guess I didn't see any, but I presume because of Twitter, you will find that there will be people that it doesn't matter if you just died a minute ago, that they don't even let you achieve room temperature before they start bashing you. So I presume there is some of that going on, and I guess I don't know if it's always been there or if it's just something that has come around since the internet and social media where people have no class. They just don't. They don't wait. John McCain, also they called him the Maverick because he did not fit into a nice, neat place as a hardcore righty or a hardcore lefty. He was out there working with the Democrats, doing a lot of things with Democrats, working with Republicans, chewing out the members of the Senate, doing a lot of different things. And so I think whatever your perception is of John McCain, it is what it is. It's not going to change because the man passed away. May he rest in peace. But it's an interesting time to watch because of the fact this is going to be a story that goes all week because of the fact that, he passed away over the weekend, and then he will, his body will lie in state at the rotunda of the Arizona State Capitol on Wednesday, which would have been his 82nd birthday. So that's Wednesday. Then Thursday, there is a memorial service at the North Phoenix Baptist Church, 10 a.m. Pacific time on Thursday. Then on Friday, he will lie in state at the Capitol Rotunda in Washington for public viewing between 2 and 8 p.m. on Friday, Eastern time. Then on Saturday will be his funeral service, will take place Saturday morning, 10 a.m., Washington National Cathedral, and be buried at what they're saying is a private service over at the Naval Academy in Annapolis. So it's almost every day there is something, and the media is going to cover it for lots of reasons. He was a big deal. He was more than just your average, ordinary senator. Presidential aspirant on two different occasions, nominee on one occasion. All the history of him being a POW. And the fact that the man had kind of a funny personality. He was gruff, and yet he had a lot of humor. So everybody comes out. I get it. You get just tired sometimes and you bark at people. I understand that. I don't have a problem with it. But apparently everybody liked the guy. But not out there in the hinterlands. Not out there in Twitterville. Not out there in Facebookville. If you, you know, he was not considered a hardcore Republican by a lot of you. So do you let it go for now, for a few days, or just let it go? The man has passed on. He's not here anymore. So I don't know why you bash somebody that's dead. They cannot defend themselves. They're not going to do anything else. They're not going to vote anymore. They're not going to say another word. So it's been an interesting weekend of everybody knew that he was going to be passing on from the time he got his confirmation of his brain cancer 13 months ago. The average, the median, I should say, for people with brain cancer is 14 months, so he made it just about to the statistical point where it finally got him. So you look at, you knew he was going to not last much longer, and so all the media houses had their obits ready to go, and they were interesting. The man had an interesting life. I thought he was also humble. Even though he was gruff, he was also humble about the fact, hey, so I got shot down. I was in prisoner of war camp. I mean, anybody that got shot down would have done the same thing. We would have been in the same situation. Then he brought up all of you guys and gals out there that served in Vietnam and fought out there in the swamps, the rice paddies. So, I mean, interesting man. So I don't know what you want to do about John McCain. I know that it's probably too soon, but there's already people are starting to wonder, what's the governor of Arizona going to do, Governor Ducey? The rules are that the governor has to appoint somebody to complete the remainder of John McCain's term, which ends with the 2020 election. Actually, January of 2023 is when it ends, but the rules say serve until the next general election, which is 2020. So even though John McCain was just reelected, and his term goes to January of 2023, the next general election is 2020. And so whoever Governor Ducey of Arizona appoints, they must be from the same party, so it's got to be a Republican. But in that case, John McCain was not like most Republicans. So I don't know who he's going to find, but they're bringing up Cindy McCain, that she should be his successor. And I've seen this before where wives of senators, Jean Carnahan was appointed in Missouri back in 2001 after her husband was and her son was killed in a plane crash while they were campaigning, and the people of Missouri elected Mel Carnahan posthumously. So they needed to do something, so they appointed Jean Carnahan to take his place. Bob Matsui, an old friend of mine, Northern California, he got ill and passed on, and his wife was given his seat, and has run for re-election ever since, and has won year after year after year. So wives sometimes are the easy choice. Arizona has their hands full this year anyway, because Jeff Flake has said, I'm out. And so now you got a bunch of Republicans down there, Joe Arpaio and others, that are all fighting for Martha McSally, apparently, is in the lead. Kelly Ward is following her. So we'll see what Arizona does come November. But I don't know what you want to say about John McCain. When a lot of the accolades, a lot of the obits showed him with buddying up with a lot of the Democrats. And I think it drove a lot of Republicans crazy. And, of course, one of the guys who the Republican Party goes, oh, no, we can't stand this guy, Chuck Schumer. He said over the weekend, as you would expect, very lovely things about John McCain. We cut one.
And I like decades from now, little children to ask their parents, who was John McCain? And they'll explain his sacrifice, his patriotism, and most of all, his fidelity to do the right thing as he saw it. And when he did the wrong thing, to change.
Yeah. So, everybody, what's the right thing? I don't know. Whatever you think it is. But John McCain was the kind of guy nobody told what to do, I don't believe. I think he was a man of his own principles. And this was something that a lot of people thought was the wrong thing to do, but he thought it was the right thing to do. He was at a town hall when he was running for president in 2008, and this lady asked him about Barack Obama in a negative way, and this is what transpired.
I can't trust Obama. I have read about him, and he's an Arab. He is not.
No, ma'am.
No?
No, ma'am. No, ma'am. No, ma'am. He's a decent family man, citizen that I just happen to have disagreements with on fundamental issues.
Well, that's true, but and it was true that Barack Obama was not an Arab, but John McCain, by correcting her, got a lot of grief for that sort of thing. That was just the way it was. So I don't know what you what your perception is of all of this. Are you surprised by the level of reaction and the laying in state in the capital of Arizona and the laying in state capital in Washington, D.C., usually reserved for people that are presidents? Too little or too much? 855-295-6600. We'll be right back.
Enjoy our discussion. You seem to be very fair. It's appreciated.
I just call him like I see him.
You're with Tom Sullivan.
All right, so this is the passing of John McCain. Everybody knows about it by now. The accolades have been many, and the tributes have been many. And it really, I must tell you, I'm a little surprised that I know he was a POW. I know that he was a senator for many years. I know all of that, and I know his reputation as being kind of a crusty guy with a sense of humor. And he had a lot of friends. And so God bless the man. But I thought the lying in state at the Capitol was for presidents, and I don't know. It just seems like it is, it's reminiscent of the week that Ronald Reagan passed away. When Ronald Reagan passed away, he passed away on a weekend, and I remember thinking, oh boy, he's not going to be buried for a week, and they're going to cart his body back to Washington, then cart it back to California, be buried at the library and all of that. I don't know what we're going to talk about. And it turned out to be where every day was very moving about Ronald Reagan. Stories, people reminiscing, all kinds of information as we followed the death and to the funeral of Ronald Reagan. And maybe you put McCain on the same level as Ronald Reagan. I don't. I honor the man for his service to our country. But it seems like it's at a level that is more head of state. And he tried. to be head of state, but the people chose Barack Obama instead by a 2-to-1 margin. Phone number is 855-295-6600. Kim in Shields, Michigan. Hello, Kim.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Just a few things about what I agree with you. He's gone. We shouldn't bash him. But I wanted to tell you, I voted for McCain-Palin 10 years ago because it was either McCain or Obama. But I really liked Sarah Palin. So that I wanted to say. I liked her spunk and her energy.
And but there again, he gets a lot of grief about, why did you pick her? Why did you pick Sarah Palin? He gets a lot of grief about, he has gotten a lot of grief about that.
Mm-hmm. And McCain wasn't a conservative. I believe that's why he's getting so many accolades from the other side, from the left. And one thing that really bothered me is he voted against repealing Obamacare last year.
Right.
And I still don't have insurance. I lost my insurance because of Obamacare. And the other thing that really irked me about McCain, besides that he wasn't a conservative, is wasn't he the one that the Democrats gave to hand carry the Russian golden showers, debunked, totally false, paid for the DNC dossier over to the Justice Department? Didn't he hand carry it over to give it some legitimacy?
Well, the story goes, he wrote about this in his book. Story goes where he was at a conference, a national security conference up in Canada, in Nova Scotia. And a British guy, British foreign affairs guy, who he had not really known well, but anyway, asked him to go into a private room. And he sat down and listened to this British guy talk about the fact that there was this dossier. So McCain dispatched one of his aides to go over to meet with Chris Steele in London and find out what the deal was. He brought it back, and McCain said, give that to Jim Comey over at the FBI. So that was his involvement.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's all I wanted to say. Is
yeah.
He wasn't conservative. I don't want to bash him because he's gone and he probably had a painful last year. But, you know, and it's no wonder that Trump doesn't like him. You know, look at all the crap, the hell on earth that Trump's gone through because of this phony Russian dossier. Dossier.
Yeah, that's one instrument. There's all kinds of reasons why they're going after Donald Trump. But all right, Kim, thank you. I do appreciate your call. Yeah, I mean, you can go over his history, and like all of us, I think John McCain was pretty honest. He wasn't perfect. None of us are. We all make mistakes. So did he. But he lived. I truly believe he lived a life of honor for our country.
First Amendment 101. You're listening to Tom Sullivan.
John's entire approach to life was, we want to get the most out of the time that we have here, so let's dig in and get going. And in his case, it pointed him toward public service of his country and of the state of Arizona. And he certainly did get the most out of the time that he had here.
Yeah, that was John Kyle, who retired as a senator a couple of years back, and is also on the short list, by the way, of who the governor may pick to finish out part of McCain's term until 2020 general election. John Kyle, I think he's right. I think John McCain was very dedicated patriot. You may not agree with his the way he did it, but I think he loved this country. Really do. Phone number is 855-295-6600. Gino in Reno, Nevada. Hello, Gino.
Hey, Tommy, how are you today?
Good. Good.
Interesting. You know, many, you know, those of us who voted in a number of elections, we've all had both sides of the aisle, I'm sure. You have the experience where you kind of you hold your nose and you pull the ballot.
Right.
And I voted for McCain. And the thing is you know, just the more I found out about him, it seemed that Senator McCain was a man who was very much a self-promotion. His wife, his first wife, was tireless in efforts to raise his awareness when he's a POW. She got the whole wear the band on your wrist, and you know, a lot of people don't know about it. And then he came home, and then she had gotten in an accident, and she was no longer beautiful. She had been a model, and it's just a lot of things. And so people make, you know, decisions and mistakes. I guess what I'm wondering is, I, like you, I'm finding in this whole, in the rotunda of the Capitol, I'm finding it a little distasteful. It's very rare. And then I remember when Reagan passed, I think the left was shocked at the outpouring of love for Ronald Reagan.
Yes.
And I'm shocked kind of at the outpouring of the left's love for John McCain. And yet when I think about it, he was a maverick. He was a self-promoter, and the media loved that man until a real liberal came along. And then he became the bad guy. And he I don't think he understood what happened. And honestly, I would love to see the governor of Arizona. She has a home there. I think she has a couple of children who live there. I would love to put a real conservative there, just to kind of take McCain's legacy a little further. If he had been elected, Palin would have been the president. Let's make Palin the senator from Arizona. I mean, I know that's ridiculous, but there's enough conservatives, enough people who voted for that man.
Yes.
Because remember how far behind he was in 2008, and then she got on the ticket, and they jumped way out in front. And then the media, who never really could get attacking him because they didn't get traction because people knew they loved him, they went after her and they destroyed her.
Big time.
And he was not a real conservative, but he left his lady who basically brought the base back to him, because it would have been a 4-1 challenging by Obama instead of just a 2-1 it was. You know what I'm saying? I'm sorry that he's gone. I wish he'd been more authentic in his conservative beliefs. I truly believe if there was a mascot for a rhino, it would be his likeness.
He liked the label Maverick, but he did not like the label Rhino, but a lot of people referred to him that way. But I checked, by the way, on Sarah Palin. I was thinking the same thing. Gino, you're scaring me that you think the same way I do. I saw a story where she sold her Arizona house a couple of years ago. I don't know if she bought another one. And you have to be a resident of the state to be a senator. So I don't know. Well, I'm with you, though. I think Sarah Palin was treated very unfairly. Very unfairly. Yeah. She was a very successful governor in Alaska, and yet they made her out to be the biggest buffoon ever. I like the woman. I think she's a nice lady.
If she was good enough to take his place as president, she's good enough to take his place as senator. I'm sorry. That's just kind of how I feel as a conservative. Plus, it would tweak the left like crazy. I just would love to see that happen.
Could you imagine Sarah Palin showing up in the Senate? Oh, man. Well, it would be entertaining, I'll tell you that. Yeah, we'll see. So, all right. Gino, thank you. I appreciate your call. Speaking of the governor of Arizona, Doug Ducey, he was asked about naming a replacement for John McCain.
It is a tremendous responsibility. John McCain is irreplaceable. This week will be about honoring his life and legacy and comforting the family, and there will be a time for that discussion later.
Is choosing a successor about modeling someone after John McCain, or is it an entirely different calculation?
This is about doing the right thing, just like John McCain would advise me.
Yeah, so he dodged that. He dodged that question. He didn't answer that question. John McCain would have been more honest and said, no, here's what I'm going to do. That's the thing. McCain barked out stuff. He wasn't perfect. No, but none of us are. But it will change the calculus. I hate to be so mathematical about it, but John McCain was a unique man. And so whoever Governor Ducey says, all right, will you fill out until 2020 election, will you fill out John McCain's seat? It's going to be a Republican, because that's the rules. But what kind of Republican? And it won't be a John McCain Republican because he was kind of one of a kind. So will it be a moderate Republican? Will it be a conservative Republican? Whatever it is, it's not going to be McCain. McCain also was big on process and the Senate rules. Huge on all of that. That was his, well, that's what he said was his complaint about why he voted down the Obamacare repeal. Didn't go through the proper hearings. Melissa in Sacramento. Hello, Melissa. Welcome. You're on the Tom Sullivan Show.
Hi. I was calling because I read a lot of books, and I was reading one about the about Obamacare and stuff. But one of the reasons why it passed, why John McCain accepted it, was because there was not enough votes. So then there was like a backroom deal where he got billions of dollars in additional funding for his Medi-Cal and Medicaid for Arizona specifically. And that's the only reason why then he did give his vote for it.
Really? I haven't heard that.
Yes. Yes, it was in one of the books. I read several books, but it was in one of the books that I had read. And, yes.
Was it written by a kooky person or somebody legit?
No, not at all. No, it was somebody. It was a legit. It was a legit thing. I read, you know, variations of books. Like I'll read, like I've read books from by Obama. You know, Dreams from My Father. You know, his own autobiography. You know, and
right.
So I read just all kinds of books like that. And another one about somebody who was going on the campaign. One of the reporters that was on the campaign with Sarah Palin and John McCain. And you know, the reporters aren't very fond of them anyway. But they said a lot of problems with Sarah Palin is that when she went out and was talking about Obama palling around with terrorists, you know, about the Bill Ayers thing, that McCain, like, his campaign really kind of shut her up a bit and pretty much made her stay on script with, like, you know, saying what she was allowed to say and what she wasn't. And so there was a lot of friction towards the end of their campaign, too.
Well, I think that's typical. I think the nobody's running for vice president. The presidential candidate, it's his or her campaign, and everybody has to toe the line. They really do. I mean, it's pretty much a script, and they hand these people that are running as vice president, this is what you will say, this is where you will go, this is what you will do, this is what you won't do, what you won't say. Arizona, I know Arizona, one thing about Arizona, they have been clobbered by Obamacare because they've got a lot of people there. Young people, healthy people, a lot of young Hispanic people, very healthy. They did not sign up for Obamacare, which left the elderly retired snowbirds in Arizona that aren't so healthy, caused a huge amount of sick people, and the healthy people did not sign up. So, yeah, Obamacare cost Arizona a lot of money. But, Melissa, I appreciate the call.
Connect and engage with Tom Sullivan on air, online. On demand.
Yeah, so for the next 5 days, John McCain will be honored in Phoenix and Washington, D.C., and Annapolis, Maryland. So I also thought it was rather interesting that he chose to be buried instead of Arlington. He wanted to be buried at the Naval Academy. And it's so interesting because I always thought it was kind of, it was almost startling when he would say, yep, I finished fifth from the bottom at the Academy. And I broke a lot of rules and almost got thrown out, and basically implied that if it wasn't for who his father and grandfather were, he wouldn't have made it through the Academy. Yet that's where he wants to be and will be buried. Phone number is 855-295-6600. Kevin, welcome to the program. Hi, Kevin.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
You know, I've been researching Mr. John McCain's medals and decorations are. And it's just incredible. And you may know that he's earned these. The first and probably on the top is Silver Star, Legion of Merit with Combat V, one gold star, Distinguishing Flying Cross, Bronze Star with Combat V and two gold stars, Purple Heart with one gold star, I mean, it just goes on and on and on.
Yeah.
And I challenge anybody, you know, your listeners, and there's probably a couple out there that do. Does anybody else out there? I think you almost have to be dead to have that kind of, you know,
well,
those kind of medals and those decorations. It,
that's the other thing. He dodged death at least a couple of times. I mean, the USS Forrestal and his plane was hit by a rocket, and a bunch of people were killed, but McCain got skated through that, being shot down and landing in the lake in the middle of Hanoi, being beaten near to death in the Hanoi Hilton. I mean, but the thing about it was, if you think about it, the reason why, I'm glad you brought that up, Kevin, but the reason why most of us don't know the whole list is because John McCain never, ever talked about his military honors. He never did.
Oh, you're absolutely right.
He never brought it up.
I wouldn't have shut up about it. I wouldn't have been able to. I'm just a peace timer. And I talk about that. And I don't even know what these are. You know what I mean? I've never earned any of those.
Yeah. Can I also make I mean, he was very self-deprecating. He did talk about, I saw an interview with, I think it was Leslie Stahl, and she was going down the list of all the things that he had almost died, and he goes, yep, and with a big grin on his face, and I crashed two planes, and I'm thinking, why would he laugh about that? But he thought it was funny that he survived crashing twice, the USS Forrestal, where I believe 100 and some people were killed, and he got, his plane was the center of the whole thing, and then, of course, getting shot down over Hanoi. And then self-deprecating about his low status academically at the academy. I mean, it just...
Oh, right.
He was a funny guy. But he thought that stuff
my
was...
My captain's had a few of these, Tom, when I was in the United States Navy. Captain Carmichael and Captain Dunleavy. But they didn't, as far as I know, I mean, they had the Distinguishing Flying Cross. They may have had a Bronze Star, but I don't think either of them had the Silver Star and a couple other ones. I don't know if either one had the Purple Heart. And those guys were in another 9 more years than Captain McCain. And they still didn't have quite what he had. I got to think there's not very many military, you know, retired military, one thing, they're getting a little older now, that have that kind of, you know, that many medals and decorations.
Yeah. That's the part about him that he said while he was in prison camp that's when he fell in love with our country. Before that, he was just a young, hotshot Navy pilot, you know, just out there having a good time.
Oh, you're right. And the one crash, what was it, wires? Was it electrical wires or some crazy thing? He was flying too low. But that was just his character. That was just his character. It was guys like that that make this country free. If you don't have people like that, We
could
pack it in.
Yeah. I mean, they get in trouble, but they are mavericks. And that's where I guess he got that term as being a maverick. And he did not fit into the rules with other Republican senators. So he always broke the rules. And I think he took a little bit of glee in doing it. Seemed to be. But anyway.
Oh, I bet.
I'm glad you called with a good point about all the medals that he was awarded. Appreciate it, Kevin. Newt Gingrich chimes in, says John McCain is deserving of the Maverick title.
Well, certainly with this letter, Brooke, the writer obviously has a vendetta.
What? We got the wrong cut there. All right, here we go.
Except I don't think it's a John look for fights. I think John is like Theodore Roosevelt. He spent it every morning looking for causes which then justified a fight. But he was a very cause-oriented person, whether the cause at one point when he took on the Bush administration over the issue of torture, where obviously he had unique standing, or whether it was the fact that he sided with Bush in strengthening our forces in Iraq at a time when it was very unpopular, and ended up, ironically, winning the New Hampshire primary. Because even though people didn't agree with him, they so much admired his courage and his candor that they voted for him in the Republican primary, even as he was telling them something they didn't want to know. So John had a remarkable ability to find issues and to find causes that were worthy of fighting, and then he was utterly, totally fearless. I never seen anybody who had a greater capacity for taking on anybody or anything than John McCain.
Well, the key word there is that he was fearless. And that's what makes a rebel. That's what makes a you know, a guy like him who broke all the rules at the Naval Academy and graduated fifth from the bottom. So I mean, somewhere in there, there's more jokes. I mean, the man laughed about it. He got a lot of pleasure out of it. But so now the focus is going to be on the fact that at the Washington National Cathedral, George W. Bush and Barack Obama, two men who he went up against to try to be president, both defeating him, and they were asked by John McCain to speak at his, to give a eulogy at his service. And it's going to bring up and highlight the fact that President Trump was asked not to. So Newt says it makes sense that McCain and Trump did not see eye to eye.
Look, I think you had two very tough guys who very early on in the Trump presidential campaign got at loggerheads. McCain took a shot at Trump, and as you know, you shoot at Trump, he's going to shoot back immediately. I think what Trump said at the time was very unwise and very inaccurate. But nonetheless, by that point, they're locked into this personal relationship of hostility. And then there are genuine, honest policy differences. And I think that's part of what you get when you have a disruptive new president. So the two of them seem to find it impossible to unlock and start over.
Yeah. All right. Two tough guys. And John McCain has finished his life here on Earth. We'll be right back.